Heavenly Father, guide our thoughts and our understanding. Please take the offering of the words that I give and use them for your purposes. May the thoughts of our hearts and our minds honour you. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen. I was terribly chagrined to read and hear in the news that Steve Smith ordered Bancroft to tamper with the ball in the test in South Africa. It was one of those moments where you think that people have just lost track of what the game's all about. It just isn't cricket. And it throws up in such stark light what happens when winning, victory, ascendancy become the things that you're driving for. When you let that creep into your soul as being the things that are most important. And of course, we've seen it in cycling, we've seen it in sport, Russia's been in the news about it. And we all know that it's wrong and we all know that it's awful, and yet people keep doing it. And you think, what on earth goes on in the human mind that we act like that? But it does go on. And this story leading up to Palm Sunday is a story which increasingly places one set of values, one set of truth against another set of truth. It comes out in all sorts of ways. Our readings this week aren't the traditional readings of Palm Sunday about, you know, Jesus coming in and the triumphant crowds throwing things in front of him and shouting hallelujah and, you know, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Instead, our readings this year in the lectionary take us to a different set of stories. The story of the woman who was so grateful for the hope that she'd been given down in her heart. The hope that she'd been given that she was loved and accepted by God. That she comes and she takes the most costly thing she's got, this jar of alabaster with this very expensive perfume, and she breaks it over Jesus and anoints him for his burial. Whatever was going on in these days leading up to the crucifixion, it wasn't as far from people's minds that Jesus was going to die as I think sometimes we get the impression it was. Jesus keeps saying it. He's been saying it since Mark chapter 9. I'm going to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to get whipped. I'm going to get beaten. And I'm going to die. And I'm going to rise again. And maybe the woman wasn't unconsciously doing something. Maybe she was consciously doing what she was doing, knowing that she wasn't going to get a chance to anoint his body for burial. Maybe she knew. Maybe she really trusted what he was saying. Maybe lots of people did. He was talking to the disciples about going up to Jerusalem, and they were saying, "Don't! They're trying to kill you." And you recall that Thomas was one of the people who said, if he's going up to Jerusalem, let's go and die with him. So maybe the crowds weren't as dumb as we sometimes imagine. Maybe not everybody in that crowd thought, ah, beauty, he's going to come in and he's going to kick the Romans out. I'm sure that was there, because people don't come into a crowd with one particular motivation, do they? But maybe there was a lot of people there who were saying, this is the way, the truth and the life, and he's got the courage to come in here even if it means he's going to die, but he said he's going to rise again. Maybe that was sitting there. It raises for us whether Jesus had actually had any success in saying to people, what victory was about. Maybe he did have some success before he died in telling people what life was really for and what was the most important thing of all. Human beings have got a capacity to reach beyond themselves and their immediate self-interest. We do have the capacity to understand what greatness is apart from the populist notion. Look, this man, winner or loser, victor or victim, what do you think?
Who is he?
He's the policeman who gave up his life for those hostages. The man who walked into a murderous situation knowing that he probably had no chance of coming out alive. He's the sort of bloke you folk would probably throw your clothes in front of. He's the one you would wave branches for. And I think Jesus inspired people. I don't think everybody in that crowd was cynical and just wanting to win. I think there were probably people whose hearts were burning within them because of what this man coming in on the donkey had been teaching them for the last 3 years and showing them in the way he behaved. You all know the wonderful story, of course, of Sir Walter Raleigh before the Queen. I don't know if it's true, but it's a great story. And legend isn't always wrong just because it's legend, is it? Dropping his cloak over the mud puddle so that Her Majesty wouldn't have to walk through it. But there was a tradition in Israelite history, and there's a tradition in the Middle East, of throwing garments in front of people who are of great worth. There was traditions in the Jewish liturgy about waving palm branches at those moments when you celebrated that God was present. Although it wasn't usually at Passover, it was usually at the Feast of Booths, but that doesn't matter. The tradition was there. So the trouble that used to bother me as a kid when we used to do those Palm Sunday celebrations and used to leave me so confused, because why were they celebrating when they knew he was going to die? Something that's very important for us to teach to our children, to really understand what Palm Sunday's about. I think we need to get away from the idea of Yahoo celebration. We need to teach our kids what it's really about. And we need to hold it deep in our own hearts too. And we need to hold it deep in the hearts of our communities as an antidote to ball tampering, to the idea that winning is the most important thing, to the idea that profit is the most important thing, to the idea that success is the most important thing. It all depends where your heart lies in terms of what you think success is. And Christ has called us to a different understanding of success. And that ought to burn in our hearts, and it ought to have some power in our thinking of who we are and what we need to do as individuals and as human beings. It was interesting. I was doing a bit of digging over the week, and while I was thinking about Anna Beltrame and Steve Smith and Cameron Bancroft, and I came across a book by a fellow called John Pearman Brown, and he picked up something I'd never realised before, and that is that before the 14th century, that sort of celebration of Palm Sunday, the triumphal celebration, it only really started in the 4th century. It was an innovation that came in then for some reason or other. Before that, that wasn't the way Palm Sunday was seen. And I found that extraordinary. I hadn't realised, so it made me question in my own mind what we're doing when we come to Palm Sunday. So when you take your palm crosses home, put them up in your house, can you, each time you look at them, think about what it's really calling you to? Think about what Christ was doing. Think about what some of those people were actually doing when they went there, knowing, believing that what Jesus said was true, and it was leading to the cross. And hold that in your hearts as an antidote to our world that says that victory is everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, mould our hearts after your Son, please. Help us to hold fast to true victory. And help us to carry the hope of resurrection in our minds, our thinking, our very souls, so that we know the direction and the aim of our lives for you and for your kingdom. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.